this week's sermon from C3 Church Narara. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
Good morning. That's very nice. Thanks. You're a pearl too, Byron. You may be seated. Thank you, band. That was good worship this morning. That was good. It's always good, but that was good. I'm really excited for the women's event. Make sure you come. It's a Thursday night, and it's going to be really good. I know I've seen the menu. The food is going to be like ridiculously good. I don't think it's possible to overhype bronze cooking. Like, Maddie read out the menu to me. I was just like, okay, that's exciting. There's also a free gift to take home, and it's beautiful. It's from Gorman, if you know that brand. So come along, talk to Maddie, and come Thursday night at 7 o'clock. I'm really keen. It's going to be like quite a special night. The boys don't know how to announce it probably because they don't understand. They're like, oh, the girls are getting together. Maybe they'll do push-ups. No, we won't. It's going to be beautiful. Come along. You gave it your best shot and I appreciate it. So yeah, as Tim mentioned, today is Palm Sunday. 1 week before Easter, indeed, Jesus entered Jerusalem. That was where it took place, on a donkey, and was welcomed by people waving palm branches. Hosanna in the highest. And then, as he said, within days, many of those people were part of the mob that saw him murdered. And Jesus knew that that was happening. He's like, yep, thank you. I love you. And I know what's about to happen. I know you will turn on me. His own crew. He hung out with Judas. He's like, I know how this ends. So this morning we are talking about grace. Without it, there's no Palm Sunday, and indeed there's no Easter. As we enter this Easter season, we have this moment to consider what Jesus did and connect to that in our own lives. And it's just, as Hudson said, like beyond imagination. But we're going to dive into it this morning. So I got a new phone the other day. I know, pretty exciting. Set it up, and the next day I was driving and I filled up my car with petrol, went in to pay, did a little double click. Oh, hadn't set up my bank cards on my phone. Do you know what I'm talking about? Of course you do. We're all modern people. So I didn't have my wallet, like physical cards. And it occurred to me at that point then that I was driving without a license too, because I hadn't set up the Service New South Wales thing either. That's been rectified, thank you to the authorities. So I'm standing there, I'm like, okay, there's no cash in the car. Like, I just can't, I don't know what to do. Like, I have created this debt that I cannot pay for. It's not like Coles where you go, okay, well, I just won't buy this stuff. Like, the fuel's in the car, I can't take it out. Can't pay, can't stay because I don't want to, can't leave because I haven't paid for it. I was stuck. I needed someone to save me. And Caleb saved me. Thank you so much. It helped that I was following you and you were, you know, 200 meters away and I could ring you to turn around and pay. But this is what sin does. It's a debt that we can't pay. We're sinners. It's ugly, it's affected us, we're trapped, the wages of sin are death, we don't want to die, we can't be close to God, we're stuck at this servo. And actually, it took you a while to get there, and I had to just stand at the servo. They're like, there's a weird, like, pregnant woman in there just waiting around, like, standing around, like, no, I'm just browsing. Like, and that's what life is like before the Savior. It's like, we can't do much here. We're sort of stuck. Ephesians 2, verse 4 says, but because of his great love, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. He showed us mercy by withholding punishment and grace by blessing us with a savior, with freedom, with peace and joy when we didn't deserve it. So let's be clear about the sequence here, because grace came first. And we'll talk about what it looks like to receive grace and walk in grace. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Grace came first. You know, and he's so gracious that even now on earth, he allows blessing for people who blatantly reject him. His grace is still available for all kinds of sinners and proud people who say, oh, but I don't actually need that. I don't even believe in that. Who are we to say that? I love this quote from Greg Morse. He's a Christian writer. God allows those who ignore him, reject him, despise his glory, and belittle his name to breathe his air, feast on his food, swim in his waters, hike in his forests, ski on his mountains, laugh, sing, and dance on his lands. He has not yet evicted them. He has not taken back his bread from their plates, nor his air in their lungs. Rather, and this is Acts 17:25, he gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. Such is the grace of God. And this is known by some Christian scholars as common grace. It's available to all of us because we get to live and breathe, even though, you know, there are many people who say, I don't even need God, but I'm just breathing and living over here by myself. It's like, yeah, who gave you that breath? Who gave you that body to walk around in? That's common grace, but there's more. There's saving grace. We can be totally saved from our sin. We breathe his air, we walk on his mountains, and we are redeemed by his blood. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's a gift. He gave it to us because he loved us. As Caleb said, the joy set before him, he endured the cross. The joy of being close to his children, who he created, who he adored, it was worth it for him because the joy of that reconciliation, of that communion was so worth it. That's the saving grace of God that we can receive. So, grace doesn't ignore sin. Saving grace doesn't dismiss it or minimize it or pretend it doesn't exist or laugh it off or shrug it off or not mention it. In fact, it's the opposite. It looks at sin squarely in the face and says, that is sin. I hate what you did, but I love you anyway. Do you see the difference? It can't be grace if you just go, oh, yeah, no, that's all good. It's like, well, then you don't need, what do you need a savior for if it's all good? Do you know what I mean? Like, grace actually, like, he felt the weight of that sin on that cross. He knew what that was. It wasn't like, no, this is fine. This is all good, guys. It's like, no, it's not good. It's not good at all. And that's why I'm up here. I've been enjoying a podcast by Lecrae. He's a Christian rapper and hip-hop artist, and he's got this podcast. He's quite a thoughtful dude. He's interesting. And he shared about when he was young, about 20, he was a Christian, but he was pursuing like success in the sort of hip-hop world, and he got sort of in with this crowd, and there's drugs around, and he gets this girlfriend, and she's a sweet girl, but, you know, very quickly they fell into sin, and she became pregnant. And he was adamant that she would not have that baby. She was actually quite excited about it and quite happy and open for it, and he said no way, because he knew that that would be the end of his autonomy, basically. And he booked her in for an abortion and drove her to the clinic, and she was crying, and he wheeled her out and took her home, and that was it. And he talked about it so just openly, and he fully acknowledged the sin of that. It was sin. That was really, really wrong and sad. And all these years later, he's aware of that, and there's a repentance as he speaks about that thing. But you also get a sense so clearly of someone who is fully free from the burden of sin on their own lives. Because he has fully repented of that, because he saw how grieved God was by that and was able to take that to the cross, he's fully received forgiveness for it. And that's why he can speak about it so openly, because he's not burdened by it. He's not that guy anymore. And it was just such a profound picture of someone who has received the grace of God on their life. And, you know, he talks really beautifully about one day being reconciled with that person who was raised in heaven. And, you know, I know some of us can carry some big stuff, but we don't have to carry it. That was the moment that Jesus stood on that cross as he bled. He took that thing from Lecrae, and he really did take it. And it was so cool to hear someone who had actually given that burden over to Jesus and was walking free from that. So don't ever be deceived. The enemy would try to tell you that there's certain things, no, that one, that was just, that's too, that's bad, that's ugly, that's, well, that's been going on too long. You've kept that a secret for way too long now. Or like, oh, that, it was fine the first time, the second time, the third, now, fourth, fifth, it's going on and on, forget it. There is no sin that is too big for God's grace. Listen to this. Where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin raised in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I love the New King James. It says, where sin abounds, grace abounds. The measure increases depending on the need. So there's never a question of, oh, that's too big, because that sin, or that affected a lot of people. If the sin's big, fine, so's the grace. Where sin abounds, grace abounds. I remember when I was really little, maybe like four or something, I cut my thumb and it bled and I got a Band-Aid, which was probably a treat because it wouldn't happen often, and I had this Band-Aid on, and I remember a sensation. And I can't remember which parent, but I told them about it. And I said, it feels like there's a heartbeat in my thumb. And I remember that they were like, oh yeah, that's called throbbing. And I have this memory of like the feeling of like, oh wow, I can't believe they know what I was talking about. Like, I was so impressed with them. Like, oh, I really thought I'd stumped them with that one. A heartbeat in my thumb. And they straight over like, oh yeah, that's throbbing. Like, wow, these guys, they know their stuff. So we loosen the Band-Aid or whatever, but that happens because when there's an injury, the blood rushes to the wound. And the more severe the trauma, the more blood. When a wound occurs, the blood vessels open in that area so blood can actually bring oxygen and nutrients to the wound. It's essential for healing. The white blood cells help fight infection from germs, and it actually repairs the wound. Let's just take a moment here. I'd like you to appreciate that I Googled that information, which maybe doesn't seem like a big deal to you, but if you know me, you know that I don't mess around with blood. So for me to get on Google and start typing things about blood in was risky business. The people close to me know that if they hurt themselves, I love you, I will pray for you. Do not show me a photo of your injury. I will throw my phone in the ocean. And, you know, it's not like a lack of mercy, okay? It's not entirely a lack of mercy. It's like, if you have this thing, you know what I'm talking about. I'm having a physical sensation. Like, I'm trying to stay conscious at the table while you're, like, chit-chatting about, like, the bone poked through or something. I can't physically handle it. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you don't. But if you do, if you know, you know. It's like, just be glad that I'm remaining conscious. I can't, yeah. So I've had some awkward moments where I've had to just quietly excuse myself. Or if it's someone really close to me, it's not so quiet. I just tell them, stop it. Don't show me that. I can't. But for you, church, I Googled about blood and wounds. So you're welcome. Oh, wow. Thank you so much. Yeah. The blood rushes to the wound because it has healing work to do. Where sin abounds, grace abounds. The worse the wound, the more the blood. And some of us need more blood than others in certain areas of our lives. Do you hear what I'm saying? And it's not like, oh, okay, well, this area, there's just always going to be a deficit because it's bad. It's really bad. There's more grace for that. There's more blood for that. Where sin abounds, grace abounds. The blood rushes to the wound. Praise the Lord. And there is absolutely nothing we can do to earn it or qualify it. Now, by grace, we have been saved through faith. So we... And this is what Lecrae demonstrated so well. There's a repentance moment, acknowledging sin so that we can receive grace. That's real. That requires something from us to actually walk in that grace. The grace is there. It's available. That's for all mankind. While we were still sinners, the grace. So let's get the sequence, right? While we were still sinners, he died for us. The grace is there. But we can actually... acknowledge our sin in order to receive it. Do you see what I'm saying? But we cannot earn it. It doesn't, you can't actually qualify for it. In fact, if it was based on works, this is Romans 11:6. If then by grace, it cannot be based on works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace. If you deserved it, it's not grace. If it was like, okay, well, you know, you've been praying a lot lately and you've really been coming to church and you're getting on a roster and you're doing really well. So you know what? Like, I forgive you. If you could earn it, it's not grace. That's just something else. I don't know. That's a participation certificate. Grace is you're not worthy, but I am. And I love you enough to forgive you. So don't be deceived about, there's nothing that can qualify you. And that can be humbling. That can be actually challenging. It's sometimes it feels better to earn it. It's like, it makes you feel like, yeah, no, it's good. Like, because I've really, you know, been coming a lot and I'm praying and I've been really real about it. And so, yeah, that, I've got my grace. But it's like, no, that's not grace. That's not what that is. It's just us in our raw, open, ugly selves receiving forgiveness. And that's humbling, and that can actually be a block for some people because, you know, it's like if someone gives you a really expensive, extravagant gift, you sort of, there's part of you that wants to like squirm away from that and be like, oh, no, I don't need that. You know, like there's a humbling about that. You have to go, wow, thank you. Especially when you can't, like there's no way you can repay them. Like you just have to be like, thanks. Like mom and dad had our kids for like 3 nights. I think it was 2 weeks ago, and you're like, thanks. Like you can't sort of repay, you know, like, oh, we bought you some sourdough and I tidied up the playroom, but like you can't, you know, I mean, it's fine. They like it. It's not a big deal for them, but it's still very kind. You know, I know the carnage that my children bring, and you can't sort of like, oh, well, we're even now because I suppose I could take their dogs. That would probably be the equivalent, but I'm not prepared to do that, frankly. So I guess we'll never be even. You just have to kind of be like, thanks, you know? And that's the humble moment of salvation is like, thanks. That's Easter. We just take it. We just take the communion. We just, thanks. We just need Jesus. And so that was my first point. That whole thing there, that was one point. Saved by grace. A second point is that we grow in grace. Second Peter 3:17. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawlessness and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Isn't that a beautiful idea? So we receive his grace, we have that salvation moment, but then we actually grow in grace. And we know we need that because most of us, when we're born again, we don't just die and go to heaven straight away. We've got this gap between salvation and full heavenly restoration face to face with God in glory, in eternity. Meanwhile, we're on earth and we're still tempted and sin is swirling all around of us. And so that doesn't go away. And sometimes that can be a challenge for people because they think, hang on, I thought I got saved. I thought I was like not under the law, under grace. Like I'm still struggling with this stuff because we're still in the world and we're still in our flesh. And so temptation and sin, it's still around. But listen, it does not win. That is the promise of grace. For sin shall no longer be your master because you are not under the law, but under grace. I love this verse in Titus. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. So the grace of God empowers us to say no to sin, and we fall and we get back up and we get forgiven again and we keep on moving forward. But we can have that faith. Remember, it's by grace by grace through faith. One of them. Grammar, what's grammar? Who cares? But there's faith there to go, no, I am under grace. That is the promise for me. Sin is not my master. It does not win. And we can actually walk in that. And you watch and see, ask God for help. Be encouraged that it actually literally helps you to say no to sin. The temptation won't go away. That's the joy that we get in heaven. But for now, we are under grace. And that means that we can say no to sin. And just as God extends grace for us and our sin, we need grace for others. Colossians 3:13. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Joyce Meyer shares how she used to be very legalistic and quite demanding of people and just constantly frustrated and just disappointed with everyone around her. No one was sort of good enough, and it was challenging. And she asked God to help her with this issue, and he said, well, you don't know how to receive grace, so you can't give away what you don't have. Once we have that sense of like, I am so not worthy, God is so gracious, once we have that, it's easier to minister that grace, because you're like, I'm not special and neither are you, and that's okay. Like, we have to have that grace for one another. That's part of why it was bestowed upon us. Freely you have received, freely give. And, you know, it's a tough world out there. Like, a lot of people are moving around with a real lack of grace. You know, you talk to someone and they're like, oh, no, that's it. They're dead to me now. And you're like, yikes, wow, okay. Like, it's just like, oh, you know, maybe they were just having a tough day. No, I don't care. No, forget it. You're just like, okay, I don't want to get on your bad side. Like, this one lady spoke to Philip Yancey, who's a Christian writer, about showing grace. And she said, I feel called to express grace to telephone marketers. I say, this must be a hard job. Can I pray for you? And they sometimes cry and break down. Does anyone feel convicted? They're all robots now anyway. There's no one to be rude to. It's just like, your phone will be disconnected. Oh no, yeah. But it's so lovely to be around people who have a lot of grace. Like, you feel very loved by that. You feel safe in those relationships because you can feel that there's grace for you. We've got my mother-in-law, Lynn, staying with us at the moment. And she's someone who walks with a lot of grace on her life, in her life, for others. I was reminded of an incident many years ago now, probably 10 or 12 years ago, one of my first trips over to Queenstown, where they're from. And I think it was Christmas. And I don't know what got into my head, but I was inspired by her. She's really good at baking and cooking and stuff. And that she made fudge, or there was something about fudge, and I was like, yeah, I'll make fudge. So I got this recipe and I tried to make fudge, which I've never made before. I've never made anything before. I don't know why I thought I'd make fudge, but I did, and it was terrible. It was all, the flavor was actually okay, but it got all crystallized and gritty. Like, it was a fail. But Lynn, in her grace, cut it up and served it up. And then, because this is the Tankard way, like, over Christmas, there's just visitors just streaming in and out all the time, like, and all total randoms to me. And I was, like, new on the scene. And she just kept serving up my terrible fudge and going, oh, yeah, oh, well, this, yeah, Caleb's new wife, yeah, she's made this fudge. And they'll be like, oh, thank you. Oh, okay. Are you from, Australia? Okay, like, it was so embarrassing. I remember being like, oh, it's not good. Like, it's not good. And they're like, no, of course. it's fine. Yeah, like, I know it was a long time ago, because if it was now, like, we've got the relationship, I'd be like, Lynn, it's awful. I'm putting it in the bin. I'm sorry. Like, but, you know, you feel free to make those sorts of mistakes with Lynn, because she's just got a lot of grace. I mean, it's not an airtight analogy for grace, because I think true grace, like we talked about acknowledging sin, would be like, Elle, this fudge is terrible, but I love you anyway, you know. I'll make better fudge and I'll serve that, you know. But this verse in Hebrews 12:15, see it, no one misses the grace of God. Make sure no one misses out on that grace. Make sure there's no one in our community that's like, nah, nah, forget it. Like, no one misses the grace of God. Because isn't it funny how we can have grace for certain areas of our life or certain issues and then not for others? And it's sort of like you can kind of qualify who deserves it and why. And the whole point is that they don't deserve it. It's like, no, I rang them 3 times. That's it now. No, that's it. It's like, no, but this is where the grace starts, when they stop deserving it. That's where the grace kicks in. That was Jesus's level. That's where he came to earth, when they didn't deserve it, when it was completely unfair, when it was all on him. That's the grace that we are called to minister. Grace involves the incredible work of forgiveness and peacemaking. It's vital, but it's really hard, because for forgiveness to occur, wrongs go down, and that's not easy. I love Louis Zamperini. I've talked about this guy before and will forever, because I'm a fan. His biography is Unbroken by Laura Hill and Brand. I can't recommend it highly enough. And I won't do his whole bio, but he was an Olympian. He ran in the Berlin Olympics with Jesse Owens, with Hitler present, and then war broke out and he was enlisted. He joined the Army Air Corps. He was stationed in Hawaii as a bombardier, and their plane was shot down over the Pacific and they were captured. And he was held in a Japanese prison camp. Oh, I'll show that at the end. Thanks. That's the big reveal. On you, Anthony. I did say at the end. It's fine. We'll debrief later. So he was held in this prison camp, beaten, starved, subjected to medical experiments and torture. They forced him to race against, like, they brought Japanese runners in and forced him to race. And he refused to let any of them win, and then he would be beaten severely for it, but he couldn't do that. And there was one particular guard known as the Bird who was deeply evil and fixated on Louis, this famous Olympian with this bright spark, and made it his mission to break him, and he nearly well succeeded. He subjected him to unfathomable horrors. But the war ended, thankfully, and Louis was saved from pretty certain death. He went home and tried to rebuild his life, but his dignity and soul was pretty shattered. He married this beautiful woman, but there was just such trauma in his world, and he would just wake up trying to strangle her, and he couldn't think about anything but vengeance, and he fell into alcoholism. It was just a really dark, dark time. And she didn't give up on him, but she did have to leave because he was not safe to be around. They had this little baby girl, and so she had to sort of physically distance herself. But in 1949, his desperate wife invited him to a Christian tent crusade, and a young man was preaching named Billy Graham. Louis gave his life to the Lord, and the grace of God flooded all those broken parts of him. He restored his marriage, he overcame alcoholism, and all that talk of vengeance just melted away. A year later, he actually did go back to Japan, but he was a different man. And he went to the prison where war criminals were serving their sentences. The Bird, he didn't interact with that particular guard, but he was struck with emotion, and he said he was surprised by what he felt, because it wasn't hatred, it wasn't relief, it was compassion. He had found forgiveness. And you can show the photo now. 4 days before his 81st birthday, he ran a leg in the Olympic torch relay for the Winter Olympics in Japan, very close to the original camp where he had been held. Show me the next photo. And there he is, just like such warmth, love for the Japanese people, and he ended up with quite a special relationship with that country. And, you know, it's just beyond comprehension, that level of forgiveness and to go on that kind of journey for many of us is hard to imagine. But for some of us, it's not, you know, that we've endured some gnarly stuff, and that's the forgiveness that is made available through Jesus. Because here's my point. Louis's a hero. He's a hero. He's won medals and is applauded as a hero. He's a hero of mine. He's a hero. There's no question. But actually, the beauty of that, he would be the first to say that wasn't him. We saw what he was like when he came back from the war. We saw what that, how that left him. He wasn't capable of that. That was the power of the love of Jesus, of the grace of Christ in his heart and in his life. That's what grace does. That he couldn't get to that, he couldn't get there on his own. Jesus got there for him. Jesus filled his heart. Jesus healed those wounds, and Jesus empowered him to minister that level of grace and forgiveness to the people who had subjected him to those horrors. That is the call on our lives. That is the power of grace. That is what Easter is about. It's beyond. This is the Christian story. This is what it means. It's so much more than just a nice Sunday at church or being kind to one another. This stuff is important, but it's about Jesus. That moment on the cross changed everything, church. Don't ask for one moment, dismiss it or ignore it or minimize it. Let us walk with the full reverence of what grace can do, what it means for our own lives. Some of us are dealing with stuff that's heavy, and we need that, the weight of grace to come crashing down upon it. But for many of us, we're quite comfortable, and it's just these niggling little everyday sins and bit of nasty bitterness, jealousy, whatever, you know, what, all that kind of stuff that builds up. It blocks arteries. You know what I mean? Grace comes to cleanse us of all of it. Thank you, Lord. And so my final point is that we reign by grace. Romans 5:17, for it is by one man's offense death reigned. Much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. It's a cool thought, isn't it? Like, you think about reigning, like we reign in power, we reign through faith, but we reign in grace. And that's really what we see in the Gospels. That's how Jesus reigned on earth. Like, it was grace. He was so humble. He was strong and true and real, but he reigned with grace. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Grace abounds, and so then we abound in every good work. It enables us to fulfill our calling. Grace on us for certain seasons. You know, you might be really stretched in a certain area, like you're super busy with something or certain kind of personalities that you're dealing with. Like, you can receive specific grace for that specific season, you know, or all our calling, all our gifts, everything we do, it's through grace. Listen to this verse. This is what Paul writes to the Corinthians. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, but not I, the grace of God that was with me. Paul was one of the greatest Christian leaders and writers of that time, of this time, of history. But don't forget, he's really evil history. He hunted Christians. He separated mothers and babies and threw them in prison and had them executed and orphaned children. Like, he went after Christians and slaughtered them at pretty much any cost. He had a very real understanding of grace. In fact, there are 131 mentions of grace in the Bible. 86 of them, 65%, are from one author, the Apostle Paul. Because he said, "You look, yeah, I've worked hard. I've given it all up. I know what I've paid. Like, I know the cost of this. I was all in for the gospel, but ultimately it was God's grace that gave me power. It's grace that enables us." I love that. He says, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." It speaks of our identity. Such a relief not to have to kind of muster that up in ourselves. And no, I am good because I do this and I've got these skills. It's like, I'm just a vessel. I'm just a servant. Anything good that I have done is because of him. Anything cool that I can muster is his grace on my life. That is such a relief. Do you know how freeing that is? It's talk about self-esteem. It's like, I don't have any. It's God esteem. Like, it's just, he can work through us. We reign in grace, and it's not us, it's Jesus. Billy Graham said this about his ministry. If you see a turtle on a fence post, you know someone put it there. What a humble guy. I mean, one of the greats. These stadiums, just for him to have converted Louis, just that conversion, you know, but he had, is it a millions? Like, beyond, like one of the greatest evangelists, probably the greatest of all time. But he's like, "You saw me up there, that's because someone put me up there. That's not me. That's God's grace." So we reign in grace. We're saved by it, we grow in it, and we reign with grace. How good is that, church? I'll get the band up. So this Easter, let us marvel in that. And I pray, church, that you would have moments this week as we've entered this season. Today's Palm Sunday. Jesus entered Jerusalem. And, you know, if you don't read the Bible regularly, this would be a great place to start, is get to the end of those Gospels and read the story of what happens next. Because each day some stuff goes down. And then we get to Good Friday and you can kind of read it in order. And let the Lord take you on that journey of grace, of where he went and why he went there and what that means for us. Let us marvel in the gift of grace that is given to us all. Let's just pray right now. Just close your eyes. Look to heaven. Look to the Lord. Thank you for your grace, Father God. You started it all. You made us. You put air in our lungs. And then you sent your son to save us. We just so desperately needed it. And we'll never, ever, ever get over it. We're so grateful. I pray that all of us would experience a fresh revelation of grace this week, this very day, this moment. And church, if you're unsure about where exactly you're at in terms of repentance or receiving that saving grace, if you want to be closer to the Lord, if you want a breakthrough of forgiveness, whether to receive it for your own sin or to forgive somebody else and be released of that burden, of that bitterness, we can pray for you. Jesus can do that miracle in your heart today. So Byron and some of the team will be down here afterwards, and I encourage you to come and receive prayer and work through some of these things. What better time? What better time than today? Palm Sunday, the beginning of the beginning of the end. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your grace. Grace, 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 Lord Jesus. Thank you. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's sermon. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.